Like to say a very happy Lunar New Year to all of you. And today I'm here in Bodhgaya, where Prince Siddharth attend the Buddha Boat under the Bodhi tree for the eyes of common people. And also today is the 15th day of the first lunar month, or the miraculous month. So today is really special day. It's almost like a Vesak day. It's also one of the most holy day of the Buddha, because when Buddha was living, he spent most of his time at the enlightenment in Shravasti, and where he did the most summer retreats. And there, he performed many miracles from the first day up to the 15th day of the first lunar month. And therefore, this month is known as the miraculous month, or in Tibetan we call it Chutul Dawa. So, for example, on the first day, he plant the toothpick, and then out of this grows a very big tree, and it has lots of branches, and it has a very good smell that can make people very happy. And then on the second day, manifest two precious jewel mountains. And then on the mountain it grows crops and grass, and these crops and grass are enjoyed by the human beings and animals. And then on the third day, from the first rushing water out of this, he manifests like a pond. And in this pond, he manifests a multicolored lotus, very bright one, and it has very good smell that makes people very happy. So, etc. So, from the first day of the first lunar month up to the 15th day of the first lunar month. So, all these 15 days, on each day, he performed different kinds of miracles. For example, on the 15th day, he manifests all the containers filled by very tasty and very good food. And then when he punched his hand on the ground, or when his the hand palm touched the ground, or beat the ground. At that time, he liberated many hell realm beings from the hell realm. So, therefore, he manifests various miracles on these 15 days. So, therefore, it is known as the miracle month. And on the miracle month, especially from 1st to 15th day, whatever we do, whatever actions that we do, it multiplies into many, many times, or like hundreds of thousands of times. So, this is very auspicious day, very auspicious occasion, very holy day. And on this holy day, if we study on the sutra, then our merits will be multiplied, studying on sutra on ordinary day and studying sutra on holy day can have big difference in our merits. So therefore, especially on such holy day, if we study on this sutra, especially today we are going to study this Avaramidayajana sutra. So by this we will have great merit. And also to make this activity very purposeful and very meaningful, for this it is important for all of us to have the right intention, the right motivation. And that is very important. Without the right motivation or intention, if we just study, then it can become worldly activities. It won't become dharmic activities. So therefore, to make our activities very purposeful and meaningful and powerful, and to make this as our dharmic activity, for this we need to have the right intention, right motivation. So, whatever we do, especially when we study on such sutra, we are not studying just for this life, we are not studying just to gain mundane results, we are not studying just to gain higher rebirth in the next life, because all these things are samsaric results, which is not the result that we need to attain through the practice of Buddha Dharma. Actually, the great Lord Buddha has given enormous amount of teachings in order to suit the different mentalities, and the purpose of all these teachings, precious and profound teachings, are not just to gain samsara result. Buddha has never given a single word of teaching just to gain samsara results. All these teachings is to lead the sentient beings from suffering and dissatisfaction to temporary and ultimate happiness, or to attain the liberation and the enlightenment state for the sake of all the sentient beings without any discrimination or exception. So, motivation is the key. Whether we can accumulate great merit or not through the study of sutra depends on our motivation. Not just depends on our physical and verbal actions. And if he have right motivation, then he really can make great impact on our mind, and it really can become the cause of gaining liberation and enlightened state. So, therefore, we must study the sutra, or generally speaking, any Dhamma teachings, with a right purpose, a purpose that is same as the purpose of Buddha's giving the teaching. Then, through this way, we can really become the follower of the Buddha. So, if our purpose of learning Dhamma is just for this life or just to gain worldly results, then it is not right, because Buddha's purpose of giving teaching is to liberate us from the samsara and place us on the stage of liberation and enlightened state. And our purpose is to stay in the samsara and gain some results within the samsara. So, in the samsara and beyond samsara, these two are opposite, just like outside of the house and inside of the house. If a person is inside of the house, at that time, the same person at the same time cannot be at the outside of the house. Inside and outside of the house, these two are opposite to each other. One person at the same time cannot be in the house and also at outside of the house. Similarly, Buddha's purpose of giving teaching is to liberate us, and if you want to stay, and if our intention is to stay in the samsara, then these two purposes are opposite to each other. And if we have if we have a purpose that is opposite to Buddha's teaching, or Buddha's purpose, then it is not possible to follow the Buddha, or not possible to really receive the blessings of Buddha's teaching. We cannot receive the blessing through the practice of Buddha's teaching if we don't have the right purpose. So here the purpose is very important, to have the right purpose, which is to gain liberation from the whole samsara. And here, gain liberation means mental liberation. It doesn't mean physical liberation. It doesn't mean our body needs to go beyond the samsara. It is not necessary to go beyond the samsara physically, to go beyond the samsara. What it means is that our mind needs to go beyond the mental obscuration, or it means we need to liberate our own mind from the obscuration of mental affliction, or the nyamambhidipa. So, for example, Lord Buddha, when he was alive, Lord Buddha Shakyamuni, when he was alive, his body is in samsara. His body is in Bodhgaya, in Varanasi, in Rajgir, etc. But it doesn't mean he is in the samsara. Although his body is in the samsara, it doesn't mean he is in the samsara. He is already enlightened. He already attained the enlightenment state. So, liberation and enlightenment is a mental result that needs to be attained by all the followers of the Buddha. So, we need to gain liberation from the samsara, or we need to gain liberation from the obscuration of mental affliction, and then eventually we need to gain liberation from the obscuration of knowledge, and then we can become the real Buddha. We ourselves can become the complete Buddha or the fully enlightened being. So, in short, we need to have the total renunciation, the infinite loving kindness, the infinite compassion, and bodhicitta. So with this in mind, then we should engage in the dharmic activities. Especially today, we are studying this Arya Aparimita Parijana Nama Mahayana Sutra. So, first, in the sutra, there is a paying homage to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in this text. And then, the actual sutra. So, Buddha gave this sutra when he was in Shravasti, when he was with hundreds of fully ordained monks and also with many great bodhisattvas. At that time he said that he he said to Manjushri that there's a above there's a universe named Aparimita Ayujana. And there's a Buddha Amitayo. So Buddha Amitayo is a long life deity, and who resides and remains sustaining and extending life to its very limit, teaching the Dharma to beings. So, he sustained the life, and also he has the perfection of life, means he has attained the immortal life, the perfection of life, and also he gives teachings, the sacred and secret teachings to fortunate and disciples. And then Buddha said, listen, Manjushri Kumara Buddha, the lives of humans in this Jambudeva are short. Actually, as it is said in the teachings, especially in the Abhidhamma Kosha teaching, it says, Dina Manya Thamani Loju Thambu Padume. So, from 10 years of lifespan to infinite lifespan, the Jambudeva people, or the Jambudeva beings, they don't have fixed lifespan. Sometimes and their lifespan is only 10, sometimes their lifespan is infinite, and most of the time it's in between these two. And at the moment we are saying like 100 lifespan, 100 years of lifespan in general generally speaking, is saying, we are saying like this. So, actually, this life is very precious, and especially the life that has it, the opportunity to practice the holy Dharma is the most precious life that we can ever have. And this precious human life is not only very rare to obtain from the cause point of view, from the example point of view, from the number point of view, and also from the nature point of view, but also it is very beneficial to this precious human life. If you use this in a meaningful way, by practicing the holy Dharma properly, then we can gain liberation and enlightenment state for the sake of all the sentient beings by using this life, by using this special human life. So it is very beneficial. It is more beneficial than finding a wishful feeling jewel. If you find a wishful feeling jewel, then that can give us all the facilities of this life, but it cannot give happiness or anything that is beyond this life. But to the proper practice of Dharma, then we can gain happiness not only in this life, not only in next life, but eventually we can gain the ultimate happiness that will last forever. Once we attain Buddhahood, we have attained the ultimate happiness, and that ultimate happiness will last forever. It will never decay. So this process of life is very beneficial and very meritorious if we use it in a right way. But at the same time, this life is very impermanent. It will not remain forever. This life is impermanent. So those who are born are certain to die, because once they are born, they don't have the power to remain or to have or to keep this life forever. And also, this life is very fragile. It's very easy to it's very easy to lose this life through many external factors, as well as through many different internal factors. And also, this life is not permanent. This life is very impermanent. The time one is born, from that time onward, one is getting nearer and nearer to the death by years, by months, and by weeks, by days, etc. And also, it is uncertain when one will be, when one will die. Because there's no fixed lifespan. As we can see, some dies when they're in mother's womb, some dies right after their birth. So we can see people die at many different age. It is not certain that all the beings will live until they become old or until their ages between 80 to 100. So therefore, the life is not permanent, especially life is uncertain. It is uncertain when one will die. And also there are many factors that can take our life or one's life. And also there are very few favorable conditions that can help us to live for a longer period of time. So as we can see and as we know, in this world there are few who live beyond 100 years of age. Most of the human beings, they die before they reach 100. So many people die and many people have untimely death. So or in this translation it says most of them are seen to have premature death or untimely death. Then Buddha said, majority, those beings who will write out or cause to be written out this Dharma discourse called uttering the praise of the qualities of the Tathagata Abharamita are you, and in those hear or recite its title only, up to those who write a copy, keep it at home, and offer flowers, perfumes, incense, and garlands to it, will, when their lifespan is ending, still be able to live to 100 years. So, just by writing this sutra, or asking others to write this sutra, or just by hearing the name of this sutra, or reading it, or keeping this text in the house and making many offerings to such texts, then one can live up to 100 years. So it means there's a great benefit, especially it can really prolong our life. But to receive such benefits, one also needs to have the right motivation, as I said in the beginning. If one has worldly intention, with the worldly intention, if we recite, or if we write, or if you ask others to write, or if you just hear the name of this sutra, etc., then we won't be able to receive such benefits. Because, not because this sutra does not have a benefit, but it is because we don't have the right motivation to receive these blessing or to receive this these benefits. So to do any actions of Dharma, we must have the right motivation, as I said before. If we think, I want to live long, and I want to enjoy the life, and I want to do more and more businesses or more and more worldly activities, with such intention, if we read this text or the sutra or write this sutra, then we won't be able to receive such blessings because or such benefits because our intention is not right. Because of that, we won't be able to receive such benefits. So, motivation is key all the time in our Dharma practices. And some might think, I want to live long so that I can fight with one's own enemies, or I want to defeat the enemies, or like that, then the intention is very impure. Intention is very polluted by the negative thoughts, polluted by anger, etc. So, in the Dharma practice, there's no room for anger. In the Dharma practice, there's no room for mental afflictions. There's no way for us to practice Dharma based on negative thoughts or out of negative thoughts. We can't do any genuine Dharma practice. So, Dharma practice is based on non-violence. Dharma practice is based on total renunciation. Dharma practice is based on infinite loving kindness, infinite compassion, and especially the Mahayana practice are based on infinite loving kindness, compassion, and the bodhicitta. So with this in mind, then we should practice Dharma, and especially according to this sutra, we should write and read a sutra on this Abharamita Ayujana sutra. So if you do it with right intention, then one can live up to 100 years. So these benefits can be received with the right motivation, not without the right motivation. So, then Buddha said to Manjushri, the lifespan of beings he had 108 names of the Tathagata, Abharamita Ayujana, Suvinisita, Dasaraja, will be lengthened. Those beings whose lifespan is coming to an end, we keep those names, will also have their lifespans lengthened. So, those whose life is going to be exhausted, then such being, if they hear the 108 names, then can lengthen, can prolong the life. Normally, we say that there's three exhaustions. The exhaustion of life itself, the exhaustion of merit, and the exhaustion of karma if one of these three are exhausted, then there's method to divert the death. So if the life is exhausted, then you can read the sutra like Abhidharma Ayana Sutra, or you can practice the long life deities like Abhidharma, the Amitayu long life deity, Amitayu, or other long life deities. And through this we can revive our life and we can live longer. And also if our karma is exhausted, then we can do many good karmas to prolong our life. And if our merit is exhausted, then we can accumulate more merits. And then through this way we can prolong our life. So when these things are exhausted, then we can practice long life deities or recite the long life sutra like this sutra. And also we can do the life releasing activities. And also we can give food and drinks to those who really need, or to those who are suffering from hunger and thirst, etc. So through these positive actions we can revive these exhaustions and we can prolong our life. So here it also says when our life is about to exhaust, then if we can recite this, or if we can hear these 108 names, then our life can be lengthened, our life can be lengthened, or we can prolong our life. And through this practice, it really can increase our life. And then it says, therefore, Manjushri, the noble sons or noble daughters who wish to have long life and who hear, write, or cause to be written, the 108 names of the Tathagata Abhidharma Ayu will obtain these qualities and benefits. So if we wish to prolong our life, we can with the right motivation, if we listen or write these 108 names, then we can receive these qualities, or we can prolong our life, or we can obtain these qualities and benefits. So the names means this long dhavani of the Anitayu, Om Namo Bhagavad Abhidharma Ayu Kana Kasata. Then this is said, Manjushri, those who write or cause to be written these 108 names of the Tathagata, who make a text of them, keep it at home and recite it, when their life is coming to an end, they will still be able to live to 100 years, and to pass away from this world, they will be reborn in the Buddha realms of the Tathagata Abhidharma Ayu's name, Abhidharma Ayukana Samutaya. So, this one is very beneficial and very meritorious. So I won't go through all these texts word by word. So, generally speaking, the life is very important, especially this precious human life, which has the best opportunity to practice Dharma, is very, very rare and very beneficial and meritorious to obtain. And when we have this light, we should use it for meaningful purpose. If we use this light just to live, so if we are doing jobs just for living and nothing more than that, then it is pity. Then we are wasting this great opportunity to practice Dharma. We are wasting this precious human life, which is very rare to obtain from many different points of view, as I said before, from cause, nature, time, and example point of view. So therefore, it is very important to use this life in a meaningful way. Otherwise, if you use it just to live, then even the animals can do actions to live, like there are cows and horses. They are walking to live. They can also do actions to live, to have their food and to have their living. They can also do like a job for their own living. And we as a human being, especially we as a precious human being, we are much smarter than them. We have much better opportunity to practice Dharma than them. We can do years and years of studies and contemplation and meditation, which is something animals cannot do. But at the same time, if we use this just for living, then there's not much difference between human and both are doing jobs for their living and nothing more than that. Then it becomes like a sin. So we have this precious human life, so we must use this life with great effective. We must use this life in a very purposeful way. So there are two things. If we have attachment to this life, then it is not right. But at the same time, we should take care of this life. We should look after this life. And we should try to lengthen this life so that we can have more time, more chance, more opportunity to practice the holy Dharma. Having attachment to this life can spoil our practice. Because even though we put lots of effort to practice Dharma, but if you are doing it based on having attachment to this life, if our action is motivated by such attachment, then after all these practices, still we are not really Dharma practitioner. Not only we cannot accumulate great merit, or not only we cannot progress on the spiritual path, but also we cannot be in the category of Dharma practitioner. As Manjushri clearly said in the parting from the four attachments, when he gave this teaching, his instruction teaching to Satsang Gunga Nyingbo, in the first line it clearly says, if you have attachment to this life, you are not a spiritual person or dharmic person. So, therefore, it is very important to let go of the clinging or the attachment to this life. And in the Kadamba's time, the great master Kodungdamba, at that time there's one person who is first doing the circumambulation, and then the Kodungdamba, the great master, said, "You stop doing this and do Dharma practice." Then, according to the Kodungdamba's advice, he stopped doing this and then started doing, reading his sutra. And then Kodungdamba said, "You stop doing this and do Dharma practice." Then he stopped reading the sutra and started to meditate. And then Kodungdamba again said, "It's good that you do Dharma practice." So then this person asked, "What is Dharma practice?" And then Kodungdamba said, "One must let go the attachment or the clinging to this life. Then one can practice the real Dharma." So it means with the attachment to this life, whatever Dharma practice that we are doing, actually it's not really Dharma practice. It's not a real Dharma practice. We are just claiming that it's a Dharma practice, but in reality it is not a real Dharma practice. So therefore, it is important not to have attachment. But at the same time, we need to look after it. We need to use this virtual human life in a meaningful way, in a purposeful way. So normally, I used to say to others that we should use this virtual human life like a paper cup. Before using the paper cup, we keep this paper cup, and after using the paper cup, then we just throw it away without having any attachment or clinging. So similarly, when we have this precious in our life, we should use this in the right way, and then at the end, we need to throw, or we need to dispose this life. No one can keep one's own life forever. No one can keep this life for centuries and centuries. There's not a single person in this world or in this samsara who can keep their own life forever, or who can keep their own life for many centuries, or even they cannot keep for few centuries. Couple of centuries. So, therefore, there is an end to the life. So, at that time, we need to throw, we need to dispose without having attachment. Even if we have attachment, then it will not help us to prolong. Attachment will make more suffering to us, more it creates. Or it causes us to have more and more mental suffering to oneself, and it can also cause mental suffering to one's own relatives, family members, and friends. If they have the attachment, then it can also cause a great mental suffering for them too. So therefore, it is important to use this life in a meaningful way, and then at the end we should just dispose it without having any attachment or clinging. So this sutra is taught or is it's given by so many Buddhas, So therefore, this is very special and very blessed sutra. So without having any doubt or hesitation, one should recite this with right motivation, and also we should recite this in a proper way, in a correct way, and then at the end we should do the proper dedication. Even those who don't understand the meaning of this, these 108 names or these long dharani or this sutra, if they hear these precious words, and then they can also gain benefit from this, and eventually it can put up for the sake of all the sentient beings. So in short, we can say reading this text or sutra, or writing this sutra, or hearing this sutra, or keeping this sutra text in the home, or making great offerings with this sutra can have a temporary, and can have many temporary benefits, and also can have ultimate benefit. So it says, through this sutra, one can gain limitless merit, or one can accumulate infinite merit. One cannot fathom the merit that we earn through this practice. And also it says, making offering to this is like making offerings or paying respect or doing prostration to all the Buddhas of different directions. So it has great benefit. And also at the end, there's auspicious prayers on the six perfection: the perfection of generosity, the perfection of moral conduct, the perfection of patience, the perfection of enthusiasm, the perfection of concentration, and the perfection of transcendental wisdom. Actually, my English is very limited, so whatever words that I'm using, please don't accept this is the right translation. So please accept the authentic translations and not just on my limited English. So these words are my own words that I'm using. So it can have many mistakes, but what I'm saying, I'm hoping that I can pass on the message that I wish to send to all of you. And then at the end, I was asked to give this oral transmission, so I will leave this in Tibetan. yagarki do awa ya ambari mita ayirka nama maa ya na sutra peki do koma sutra ayche pati meba shacha wa taba chumbe do sange tansa yusna ba tamza la cha anza no tiga taki taba ti eche na zumnan de yendo yoba na ante te talo ke mese singi kunga ra wa na gelan jada sada zozum yi ki hongi ki le zumbo ta na zumbi zumbo 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 ta tan tabje do shoto kane zumbi zumbi ki zumbo sinur ki bala kato ba zumbo dingin sana zidin ji kama yenge ba zumbi ba Chacha wa shiye de tanda dijin shabba da jimba yaan sabur zabi sange sada yi shabba dhe baba shi nana bar nyeba shi tiki gyalwa shacha wa shudu tse dinti tse tsa rachin bar shate tse nala chak yantan da jambo shanar kiba nyen che zambu lin di min namne tse tongwa de tlo gyato ba shata de tada le jambo jati mayin bar chi urin tutan doa jambo sunja kunja dijin shabba tse bada me bati yi yinda tanga ba yaktu jubba shi sayo chikin naman di yigir diyama yigir di juba min dun yin da uoban nam niya labon la shi dikim na chungur
But I think in the one, the text that I'm using now, I think I have some missing words. So when I read this, if I miss some words, then just ignore it. Because when I read this, maybe the text itself, the one that I'm using, this text itself has some words that I'm missing. So, again, on this special day of Chutul Tejan, or the miraculous day of the Buddha, we have studied the Abharamadhyayana Sutra, and whatever method that we have been through this study, and also along with this, we dedicate all our merits to attain Buddhahood for the sake of all the sentient beings, and especially we must dedicate all our merits for our root guru's long life and good health and always chanted will of Dharma. Thank you.
Your Holiness, thank you so much.